thank you for being with us here at the Tabernacle this morning. That last verse, the older I get, just gets me more and more. And I begin to think of all the saints that we have over there. I was able to go to the estate sale that with Pastor Sturgill's house, and I opened one of the Bibles, and it had Glenn Weiniger's name in there, and started thinking about Glenn Weiniger and some of the other saints that are going to meet us over there when we pass through that eastern gate, and it just gets me excited about seeing all those people again, seeing pastors, seeing those who've gone on before us. But I'm thankful for those of you who are still here and still able to meet with us, and we're able to still fellowship together, and I thank you for being here this morning. Pastor is unfortunately not able to be with us today. He has the flu, and talked to him on Friday night, and he did not sound very well. So he is trying to get well, so please pray for him and those who are sick as well, and just a lot of people in need of prayer right now. So please help us to pray for each other. That's the one thing we can do as Christians for our brothers and sisters in Christ on a daily basis is pray, and that should be something that we should do for our fellow Christians every single day. So hope you'll pray for us as a church, but I'm going to pray this morning corporately here, and you pray there in your seats, and we'll get the service started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for what you're doing here in this place. We thank you for such a place that we can come and we can fellowship together, and we can open up your word and we can study it together. And God, you said that we're one or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And God, we're asking you to meet with us today. We're asking you to speak to hearts today. God, if there's someone here this morning that's not saved this morning, I pray that today would be the day that they make the decision to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, God. And again, I just pray that you meet with us, be with our pastor as he's healing up. I pray that you would just get rid of all this flu symptoms and get him back to 100% again. He'd be able to be back here with us in fellowship with us all together. God, I just pray that you be with the furtherance of the service. Just meet with us in a special way, and Lord will not fail to give you all the praise and honor and glory, for it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, if you'll stand right there where you are and take your hymnal to page 248, just over in the Glory Land, as Brother Harold comes and leads.
Amen. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the Glory Land, and I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land. I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land. There with the mighty host I'll stand, just sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land. I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land. There with the mighty host I'll stand, over in the Glory Land.
Verse 4. With the blood washed throne I will shout and sing, just over in the Glory Land. Let Hosanna sing to the Lord the King, and over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land. I'll join the happy band, just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land. I'll join the happy angels band, just over in the Glory Land.
Amen. You may be seated. I was going to do a Christmas song since the pastor's not here, but he said you better not. So I'm not going to do it. Your hymnals one more time and turn to 139. Would you please stand one more time at Calvary? 139. Years of vain vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Seated.
All right, again, thank you for being in the house of God this morning. At this time, we'll ask our men to come. We'll take up our Sunday morning tithes and offerings, and while they are on their way, if you're here this morning, it's your very first time being here with us, right in front of you in the pew there, there's a visitor's card. If you'll fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, I should have said something earlier, but we have a lot of announcements in this in the bulletin this morning, so you'll have plenty of time to fill that out. So if you would, fill that out and just drop it there in the offering plate. Again, pray for Pastor. Pray that God will heal him up very quickly. He can be back with us as he's battling the flu there. I know a lot of that's going around. Me and Leanne and Kason all fought it there for a couple of weeks there, so it's definitely going around. But February is going to be a very busy month here at the Tabernacle. Just several things going on. We'll kind of go over those real quick. For that, for our teens, here on February the 10th, there will be a teen rally going to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for a teen rally. The van will leave at 9:30. And it'll be back at about 2:30. So if you are one of the teens here, or you know somebody who would like to come, a teenager that would like to come and be a part of that youth rally, that is February the 10th at 9:30. Just be in your place there. February the 11th, that's a Sunday. It's going to be a busy day. We'll have a baptism after the AM service. So if you know anybody who has mentioned wanting to be baptized or needing to be baptized, let us know so we can plan that. And then after the PM service on the February 11th, we will be having communion as well. Then we do finally have a date for the senior lunch. February the 15th, we'll have a senior luncheon at the Mad Greek restaurant at 11:30. There is a sign-up sheet in the back vestibule there, and you can see Susie Jones if you need any other information regarding that. Then February 17th, this is a Saturday, we're going to have a men's meeting with Brother John Reynolds that day. And so there is also a sign-up sheet for that in the lobby as well. So if you'd like to plan that, we're going to be meeting here at the church. Then after, we're going to go to the gun rack, because that sounds like a great plan to me after a good service there. And then the 18th, day after, John Reynolds will be here in the service with us. And then towards the end of the month, we are going to be feeding the sheriff's office their breakfast, just trying to get into the community and the church have a good presence in the community as well. So again, a lot of stuff going on in the month of February. I know you wrote every single one of those things down if you did not get a bulletin, but if you did not write those down, you do not have a bulletin. There is some in the back and you can grab that. Coming up in the spring and the summer, Spring Revival, April the 28th through April the 30th, and then Tri-Cities Baptist Camp Meeting, July 8th. Through July 12th. So, a lot of dates there. I know you've already got them memorized because y'all are a lot better with that kind of stuff than me. I will have to post this on my wall just to remember all of this stuff, or at least my wife will have to put it in her calendar one. So, one or the other. But thank you for being here again this morning. I'm asking Brother Jack Prince if he'll ask a blessing on the offering this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Lord, we pray, God, for these ones that are sick, Lord, that would like to be here. We pray, God, that you'll take this offering, Lord, and use it to your will. Pray, God, that you'll bless the service today. Bless Brother Doug as he brings the message. Lord, just help us to do your will. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter number 26. We do not have any special music this morning unless anybody wants to volunteer. Are you volunteering? We got one to volunteer. It wasn't on my paperwork down here, so I didn't think we had any. And I said that thinking nobody would, and then I saw a hand go up. So, Brother Farron, if you want to come and sing this morning.
There we go. No, I was just doing what I was told this morning by Patty. So there we go. Go ahead. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, praying for assurance, everything's gonna be all right. Lord, I see another battle. It's out in front of me. And I know I won't be able, or I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and see how far you've come. Oh, and every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking I would not see you through? And didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills, they're coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. But then she hears a voice so still and low. He said, I've moved like this before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord has a way of working some things out. We met this morning in prayer room this morning, and I've been fighting the devil all morning, last night, all morning, about what the Lord would have me to speak on. And even sitting up here, I was a little unsure of what the Lord had me would have me preach on. And Brother Varner this morning prayed that God would settle in my heart what he would have me to speak on. He didn't know I was struggling. He didn't know for sure what the Lord wanted me to speak on. this morning, and then I didn't think we were going to have any special music, and Brother Farrell sang this morning, and the Lord has confirmed in my heart what he wanted me to preach on this morning. So Isaiah 26, verse 3 is where we're going to be this morning. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. We're just going to read one verse, and then we're going to get into much of this chapter, or a big part of this chapter. But for introduction, just going to read one verse, Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each and every person that's in here this morning. God, I pray for whoever this morning may be struggling, may be worried, may be stressed this morning, may be fighting the devil and trying to find peace this morning. God, I pray that you'd grant that peace that can only come from you, Lord, this morning. For we'll not fail to praise you, for it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 3. Thank you, Brother Shane, for singing that song. And God just kind of confirmed in my heart that this is what he would have me preach on. The word peace, the Bible says here, if God, thou will keep him in perfect peace. The word peace appears in the scriptures at least 329 times. Now, when you see something that is spoken of that much, it is something that the Lord wants us to know about. Peace is not something that should be foreign to the child of God. This is something that God intends for the child of God. If I was asked this morning, who in here likes to be worried? Not one person. No, not one person in here likes to be worried. How many in here likes to be stressed? Not one person in here likes to be worried, doesn't like to be stressed. Don't like you don't ever want to be faced with, how am I going to have my next meal? How am I going to pay for the lights to be kept on in my home? Some of you students in here, I'll take a minute just a second to brag. We do have one in here this morning that did make the ETSU Dean's List, Miss Kennedy Lane in the back. So she's probably never had to worry about a test or anything like that, but I'm sure it's not something that she would like to have to worry about. We don't like to deal with stress, and we don't like to deal with worry, but many times it seems like the word peace or the idea of peace is something that is foreign to us or is impossible for us to have. I found a quote when I was studying this. It says, "If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble." And that is so true. If we will really tap into the resources that we have for peace. But many times we try to go to other avenues. We try to look at other things. We try to find peace in other things. And that's what causes a lot of people to get in trouble and get into things that they should not be involved in, because they've tried to find peace in things that don't bring peace but bring more trouble, bring more worry, bring more stress and things like that. Instead of going to the 329 passages in the scripture that God talks about peace and finding out how we can have peace. Now, I will save you the trouble this morning, and I'm not going to go over all 329 passages about peace this morning. And I saw just a bunch of people go, "Whew." All right. So we're going to stay in this one passage about peace this morning. So please don't worry, we're not going to go over all 329 passages. But we are going to look at a couple of verses here in Isaiah chapter number 26 and learn about peace. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." All right? Now, the Bible, verse number 3 here of Isaiah chapter number 26 tells us one thing, that we can stay in peace. How many would testify this morning and say that your life has been defined as staying in peace. Not one hand was raised. Now, we can say that in times in our lives, we've found peace. We've enjoyed peace. But to define our lives as holy, being kept in peace, many of us can't say that we can define our lives that way, or define many times our current situation as being kept in peace. However, Isaiah 26, verse number 3, says that we can. So why aren't we? That would be the question this morning. Why are we not being kept in peace if the Bible says here in verse number 3, we can be kept in peace? He will keep us in peace. Well, I think we're going to look at it a little bit more, but honestly, I could really just end the whole sermon here by saying the answer is spoken of in the next few words. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It could very simply, I could end the sermon right now. We could pray and we could all go home and say, why do we not find peace? It's because our minds are not constantly on Jesus Christ. Our minds are not constantly trusting in Jesus Christ. If it was, the Bible says, we would be kept in peace. All right, bow your heads, close your... No, I'm just kidding. No. But we're going to look at it a little bit this morning. So the Bible, in verse number 4, if we go on to read, the Bible says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So verse number 3, he talks about having peace and the ability to be kept in peace. And then immediately in verse number 4, he talks about strength. Now strength is a very important ingredient when it comes to peace. The stronger you are, the less you worry. The stronger you are, if you're an athlete, if we many in here have been an athlete or have served in the military or been in some kind of contact sport or combat or something like that, the stronger you are, the healthier you are, the quicker you are, the more you don't worry about your enemy. The more you don't worry about that person that is coming against you, because you've prepared yourself, you know you're strong, you know you're fast, you know you're capable of facing that opponent. So strength is a very key ingredient this morning. So here in verse number 4, we find out about the strength of the faithful. Here, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So what causes us? Where can we as Christians, where do we find our strength in our lives? The Bible says that the first place that we find our strength is in Jesus Christ, okay, in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 1, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." Okay? It's a very interesting way that that verse is worded there at the end of verse number 1. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Okay? So, we know that we have the bulwark of his salvation, or the strength of his salvation. That's what it talks about there in verse number 1. But what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that we have security in our salvation, okay? It does not matter how bad things get today. It doesn't matter how bad your health gets today. It doesn't matter how bad your finances to get today. If today it was all over, today was the moment that God called you home, okay? We can have security and peace in knowing that we are saved. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can have peace this morning when you know and when you trust that if it was all over in the blink of an eye, you're going to be standing face to face with Jesus Christ.
And we can find security in that. The Bible says here in verse number 1, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now, what does that mean? Okay, so when a wall represents an enclosure. So the Bible says walls represent an enclosure. We have four walls in here today. We are enclosed in this room right now, right? What I know is it a little bit cold this morning right now. Who's pretty comfortable in here this morning? Pretty comfortable, right? So we are protected by what is out there because of the four walls that we see here before our eyes, right? Our salvation forms an enclosure of our heart and our soul that it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. There is something that's happened on the inside that the world cannot do anything about. Because at the end of the day, no matter how bad the world gets, no matter how stressful the world gets, no matter how hard the enemy comes at us, he can take everything away from us, including our lives, but we have the peace of knowing that that moment we will meet Jesus. And that's a security for the believer. But we also then have the confidence of salvation. The Bible says that not only is that salvation appointed as a wall, but it's appointed as a bulwark. Now, what's a bulwark? That's a word we don't use very much in our day and age, but a lot of the older folks in here, especially those who have been in the military, understand and know what a bulwark is. It's a defense. It's something that you can hide behind and you can face the enemy and know that you're going to be protected. I can face the world and I can face my worries and I can face my stresses and I can face the opponent, that person that's in front of me, that thing that is in front of me. I can face it because I know that through my salvation, I have protection through Jesus Christ. Now, if I go out and I have an opponent and I'm standing wide open in the middle of the field and I'm having to face that opponent, that's much more stressful, right? I have no protection. I'm vulnerable. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, you are much more vulnerable to the attacks of the devil than those sitting here this morning accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Because we have a defense. We're not that person standing out in the middle of the field having to face everything head on. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, the Bible says. So we have confidence that we can face whatever's before us in peace because we have the defense that is Jesus Christ. So we see the bulwark of his salvation in verse number 1. And then verse number 3, the Bible says we see the stronghold of the mind. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Okay, this is very important. The stronghold of your mind. The thing that Satan will attack most is your mind. And now you say, "Well, I'm having these physical ailments." Yes, you may be having those physical ailments, but the devil is using that to get into your head, to get into your mind, to destroy your mind, because if he can destroy your mind, he can destroy you. And he can destroy your testimony, and he can destroy your joy, and he can destroy your peace. The mind is the hinge pin of peace. Your salvation brings peace, but your mind keeps it. Okay? So the stronghold of your mind. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." What's the content of our mind? What content in our mind keeps peace in our heart? The content is Jesus Christ. The content is his word. If you are not regularly in the word of God and regularly communing with God and having a relationship with God, how can we ever expect to have peace with God and peace in our lives? If God is the source of the peace, we know that the Bible tells us God is the source of our peace. But if we're not going to the source, how do we expect to have it? If we don't have that content in our mind, the contact of our mind, that's Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Who is the thee in this passage of Scripture? That is Jesus Christ. We spend too much of our time with our mind on other things than Jesus Christ. Our contact is, the content and contact of our mind is so many other things. So many other things. And we wonder why we don't have peace. The bill comes due and we don't have enough money to pay for it. So we stare at that bill for days on end wondering how we're going to pay it. Instead of going to Jesus Christ saying, God, I've done everything I can. I can't pay this bill. But I know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills that they graze on. And I need help. And I'm trusting my content of my mind is going to be on you. Because you're the one that provides peace. You're the one that provides provisions. You're the one that will come through in all of this. And when we choose to put our minds on Jesus Christ instead of all the other things, peace prevails in our hearts and lives. And then we look at not only the content of the mind, but we see the strength of his arm. In verse number 4, the Bible says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Okay? Now, if you've played sports or anything like that, you know you can be strong and then something can happen and you can be sore for days, right? All right? And that just happens. It's a part of it. There is going to be times in our lives where we have to solely rely on Jesus Christ. But too many times that we try to rely on our own strength, many times our own strength in times of weakness, instead of in weakness letting him be made strong through us, we try to do everything on our own. The Bible says, in verse number 5, the Bible says, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low, even to the ground, he bringeth it even to dust. You know, it's easy for us to trust God in those times, right? It's easy for the nation of Israel to rejoice and triumph in Jesus Christ when the walls of Jericho fell, right? It was amazing. They watched God do something absolutely amazing. But when they got to the brook and it was dried up, it was a little harder for them to trust in God. As Pastor talked about it, it was easy to trust in God when Moses is there and he's leading them. But when Moses goes up into the mountain for a month, it's hard to trust in God then, right? And the next thing you know, they're worshiping idols in less than a month. We find it easy to trust and we find it easy to have peace in times of triumph because it's much easier. We see the power of God. God overcame a victory in our lives. But the Bible says, verse number 6, the foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. He says, even in the times of need, even when you're poor, even when you're weak, God will direct your steps, and those steps will take you in a path of peace. Because having peace in the times of trouble, it's hard to find peace in the times of trouble when your health is declining. The doctor can't figure out why this is happening. When you don't know where the next meal is going to come from. It's harder to trust God in those times. But God says in verse number 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It doesn't say it's everlasting strength when you have enough money to pay your bills. It doesn't say it's strength when you have enough money to put food on your table. It doesn't say there's strength when your health is 100%. It says he will give you everlasting strength. Everlasting means all the time. We can have it in the good times. We can have it in the bad times. We can have it in the strong times. We can have it in the weak times. If our minds are stayed on thee, if our minds are on Jesus Christ, we can have that. And then the Bible talks about the uprightness of the just, goes on to talk about not the strength of, not just the strength of the Lord, but the uprightness of the just. In verse number 7, the Bible says, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. So the Bible's talking about here, now he's talking about how we should be living in order to have peace. Okay? Here's where we fail a lot. You know? Are we living in a way that God would provide peace? Okay? Peace is free. The peace of God is free for us, but there is prerequisites to peace. God, if you're out here living completely opposite of the way God wants you to live, we can't expect to find peace in those times. So the Bible's talking about here. Verse number 7. The way of the just is upright. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. You know, as a child, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you have a better time, don't you? We're raising a 16-month-old, and he don't always act the way that he's supposed to. But he has a much better time when he does act the way he is supposed to, right? It's a childish example, so to speak, but it's the exact same way for us as adults. You know, we may not be getting our hand smacked for sticking our hand in the cookie jar, but the Lord has a way of smacking our hands for other things, don't he? And those are the times that don't feel too good. That's those times that we find ourselves having a trouble with being kept in peace. We have to live right to enjoy the things of God, such as being kept in peace. The Bible talks about the way of the just is uprightness. So we see the path of the just. The Bible says there, thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. So we see the path of the just. What is the path of the just? And knowing that the just man enjoys peace, what is the path of the peace? The Bible says the path of the upright is weighed by the Lord. It makes me think of another passage of Scripture this morning, and I kind of paraphrasing it a little bit, but the Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. So if we are following the path that is ordered by the Lord, that the Bible says he's the author and finisher of he's the author of our path. He's the one who orders our steps. And if we're following that path, we will find ourselves being just and upright in heart. And when we find ourselves being just and upright in heart, what else will we be experiencing? Peace. Many times we don't enjoy the matter of peace because we are not following the path that God has ordered for us. So what's the pattern of the just? The Bible says the way or the pattern of the just is uprightness. Now, this doesn't mean that we can just be upright for a very short period of time because we need to experience the peace of God. And that's how we want to experience, what's how we want to live, right? We want to live the way we want to live, and then in those stressful times, we want to live right so God will give us peace, right? Instead of living right and being kept in peace, we want to live right parts of our lives and wonder why we spend so much time without peace. The pattern of the just is uprightness. The pattern for peace is uprightness. We want to experience peace. We got to live in a way that will keep us in peace. And that is being upright and being just. So the way of the just, and then the Bible talks about the weight, the W-E-I-G-H-T, the weight of the upright. The Bible says in verse number 7, thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Many times we don't weigh our actions. We don't weigh. If I do this, what is the direct result? If we would stop and sit back and think about our actions sometimes before we do it, man, how much peaceful, how much more peace we would have in our lives. We also don't weigh the actions in someone else's life. Now, what I mean by that is many people are having trouble experiencing peace because of my actions. Because I didn't weigh my actions and wonder and understand how it's going to affect somebody else. You say somebody might be living with bitterness in their heart because of something that I did. And that bitterness has caused them to live without peace as a direct result of something that I did. Are we living our lives right in a way that other people can enjoy peace in their lives and not feel bitterness and things like that through the things that we have done? We need, as Christians, we need to start weighing our actions more. The weight of our actions and then the scale of his judgment, the Bible talks. Thou most upright doth weigh the path. If we are living right, God gives us peace, right? Well, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. If you are not living right, the opposite is true. We lack peace. We lack a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we lack a relationship with Jesus Christ, we lack peace. So the scale of his judgment is in direct correlation with the weight of your living and my living. So we need to start weighing our actions if we want to have peace. And then the Bible talks then about the weight, W-A-I-T, of the upright. A lot of weight happening here. Weight, W-A-I-T, the weight of the upright. The Bible says in verse number 8, the Bible says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our souls to thy name, to the remembrance of thee. The Bible says many times we have to wait for peace. Many times we want to jump ahead of the Lord and wonder why we are in a place where we're stressing and we're worrying because we got 10 steps ahead of Jesus Christ. Or what we thought was ahead of Jesus Christ. Many times what we think was ahead of Jesus Christ was a totally different direction than he wanted us to go in the first place. But the Bible says that many times we are going too fast or going too much or going in a completely wrong direction when God says, stop and wait on me to give you direction and give you peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. We've already talked about that this morning. What do you find a lot of times when you find strength in facing the enemy? You find peace. Because you have that strength. So the Bible says here, if we wait upon the Lord, let him lead, we will find strength in the Lord, and that strength in the Lord will ultimately bring us peace. If we follow what the Scripture says, man, it does a lot for us. If we just follow the pattern. And then the Bible says many times that we'll still find ourselves in the midst of a storm. I was talking about it with the teenagers this morning. And talked about how many times in the life of a Christian, we still find ourselves in storms. I think about all the different times that these men of God, men and women of God, have found themselves in storms, but they still had peace. You talk about Paul and Silas singing in prison. That is not a place that I think that I would find myself singing. That's just me. But Paul and Silas found peace in prison because they were right in the center of God's will and they found themselves praising God because they had peace in prison. Because they waited on the Lord and they found peace. And so the Bible says, goes on to say in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, don't matter how bad it gets, when we trust in God, He gives us peace. Go on to look at verse number 9 just very quickly. The Bible says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. The desire, we see the desire of the righteous in verse number 9. The Bible talks about here in the night, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. It's many times when you're sick, or when you're worried, when's it worse? At night. You know, me and Leanne and Kason, we just kind of dealt with some sickness here, and it was like I'd be fine during the day, and then about 6 or 7 o'clock, it was like my nostrils just closed. I couldn't breathe. And through the rest of the night, it was just like I couldn't breathe. And then the next day, I'd wake up, get going, and all of a sudden, I could breathe again. You know, and a lot of times when you've got something going on and something's stressful and something's worrying you, and you lay down there, you sit in that recliner at night, or you lay your head on the pillow at night, and it's like the devil comes and sits on your shoulder and just talks your ear off the rest of the night. It's like nails on a chalkboard when he comes and talks to you in the middle of the night. It's in the night that the worries come and the stresses come. But how many times do we remember the Lord in the night? That's when we go for the bottle of melatonin. That's my go-to, melatonin. Instead of going to prayer. Saying, God, the devil's on my shoulder right now. He's telling me all these lies. He's telling me you're not good enough. He's telling me you're not able. Telling me you're not strong enough. Tell me I'm not strong enough. Won't you come and prove him wrong? Are we remembering him in the night? The Bible says that the soul finds comfort in him in the night. The Bible says, for his anger endureth but a moment, his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Why does joy come in the morning? Because you spent time with him in the night. That peace will come in the morning because you spent time with him in the night. How many times when the going gets tough do we forget to spend time with God and wonder why we can't find peace? And then the soul also finds rest in him in the night. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many times have the devil again come and sat on your shoulder and spoke all manner of lies and false things in your ear, and you went to God and you asked God's help? How many times has God allowed you to find yourself sleeping some of the best sleep that you've ever had in your life? Is the situation over? No. You still have to pay that bill and you don't know where the money's coming from? Yeah. You still don't know how you're going to put that next meal in the pot? Yeah. But God says, you can find rest in me. And I'm going to allow you to have the best sleep that you've had because you came to me. Your mind was stayed on me. And because of that, I've kept you in peace. This morning, the Bible says that you can stay in peace. Verse number 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. But there's a prerequisite to that. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because the person that's mind stayed on him, trusts in him to fight the battle, to bring the peace, to bring the provision, to bring the protection, to bring whatever it is that you need in the time, that person is trusting God to do it. And when we trust God in those times, He keeps you in peace. He didn't just allow you to know peace. He says, I'll keep you in it. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in peace. I just don't want to visit it from time to time. I want to live in it. So if you want to live in peace, your mind must be stayed on Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for each and every person that's here. Thank You for what You're doing in the hearts and lives of these people here this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's someone here that has never known the peace of God in their lives, that has never known what it means to know You as their personal Lord and Savior and find and know true peace, I pray that this morning they would come to this altar and accept You as their personal Savior, and I pray that You would bring them face to face with peace. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that does know You as a personal Savior and is dealing with something stressful, something worrisome, something that just has taken their mind this morning, I pray that they would take their mind off that and put their mind on You and know that perfect peace and help them to live and stay and be kept in peace this morning. We'll not fail to give You all the praise and honor and glory, if it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Books to 81.
Number 81. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and as Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, we won't delay this morning. I did forget to make one announcement. Several months ago, Pastor had revealed his heart about being able to reach out to our teachers and administrators in our area, and occasionally throughout the year sending them a card or sending them a note of encouragement. If you have committed to doing that, here on the front row there is several notes here, stamps and everything on it. If you would like to send out a note to a local administrator, a local teacher, if you would come by and grab one of these, and I know that it would be a blessing, hopefully touch one of these hearts of these administrators, and just do a big work there. They're working with our youth. They're working with the next generation, and we want to be as much of an encouragement to them as we possibly can, so please come by and grab one of those. But if all hearts and minds are clear, we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this day. God, I pray that You help us as we go along our day. Lord, I pray that You help us to place our mind on Thee and keep it on Thee. And Lord, in return, God, I know that You'll help keep us in peace. Lord, bring back everyone again safely tonight, for it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.